This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Once again, we would like to express our greetings to each of you, and as well express our gratitude for you once again offering us this opportunity to interact and to share with each of you in your vibrational levels. Now, we would remind you that the opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication continues to exist if you choose to do so. So, and you will find once again that should you choose to alter your consciousness, you will find that as a result of the energy that you have created in this space this afternoon, that it's quite easy for you to close your eyes and express the intent and to enter into that altered state of meditative state of consciousness. But once again, as always, that choice is yours, absolutely. Now, you create this reality. There may be instances where you doubt that particular concept, but nonetheless, it's quite accurate. You create the reality. Many times it's a reality that's created from one's making a decision to not be involved, or one makes what you might be called a default decision to create the reality from default, as opposed to creating it from an absolute conscious understanding and acceptance of that creation process. In other words, you might choose to believe that you're not in control, that some other entities are influencing your reality, and as a result of that type of choice, your reality, you might say, is created from a state of default rather than a state of conscious choice. But nonetheless, still your reality, still your creation, absolutely. And so, but many desires and understanding of how to create this reality consciously, from in your awakened consciousness state. The basic concept is very simple. If you alter a belief, you alter your reality. If you change your belief systems, you change the reality. It seems like such a simple statement, and it really is. However, the application, many times, like so many simple things, is not quite as easy. You create this reality through the choices and decisions that you make, through the beliefs that you hold, the attitudes that you experience are a result of the reflections of those beliefs, spontaneous attitudes, not attitudes that you, in your awakened consciousness state, decide that I must hold this type of an attitude, regardless of what's occurring around me. And it can indeed influence your reality to the point where it can be a reality that you experience as being much more desirable. But nonetheless, it's an attitude that is not necessarily a reflection of a belief, but an attitude that you choose to hold without altering the belief that's responsible for the particular attitude. And so when we suggest to you that you pay attention to your attitudes, we're suggesting you pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes that you experience when you're involved in a day-to-day activity, in a certain event or experience, and you have this instant flash of attitude. You look at it and say, well, I wonder where that came from. That's not the attitude that I desire to experience. That's not the attitude that I have consciously decided that I would hold in my forefront, in my existence and in my activities. That's a, what I might refer to as a negative activity or a negative attitude in response to that activity. And that attitude, if you pay attention to it many times, can give you glimpses into understanding what the belief is that was responsible for the reality and the experience in the first place. It's also important to understand that when you're involved in a particular activity, that there can be several individuals involved in a similar activity, and each has different emotions and feelings that result from interacting in that particular activity. For one, it can be an activity where the response or the emotion is experienced might be what you would term as a very desirable emotional feeling, whereas for another individual experiencing exactly the same reality may have an entirely different perspective and experience an entirely different emotion and feeling because of a different belief system regarding that particular activity or experience. So pay attention to these spontaneous attitudes to give you glimpses of the belief that you are holding at some level of your consciousness that is responsible for the experience in the first place. To consciously create the reality, there are several things that you can be involved in. One of them is understanding what it is that you desire. You see, the reality that you're experiencing is indeed validating your desires. Whether it's a desire that you're aware of or one that, once again, you assume by default, it really doesn't matter. You're getting what it is that you desire. It's validating your belief system. So be specific in understanding what it is that you desire. Maybe you desire to be involved in a relationship. Well, you may have that relationship, but it might not be a very favorable type of relationship. So be specific about what type of relationship it is that you desire to be involved in. Lay it out. Be very specific. I want these particular elements in my relationship or any type of other experience that you desire to create. Be specific. Understand what it is that you desire. Lay it out. Understand it. When you use such a terminology, what it means, what it truly means, what it is that you're attempting to achieve, what it means to you. It's important what it means to you, not to some other individual, but to you. It's your creation. It's your reality. It's your desire. Understand what it is that you desire. Be specific. And then use your imagination. When you're a child, imagination flows freely. Children exist in that reality where their imagination allows them in their awakened consciousness state to experience interactions with other levels of their consciousness from an awakened conscious state. And as they become more mature, that ability slips away. They validate the belief that they're not in control. They validate the human consciousness belief system in time and space, that there cannot be these illusionary existences in the same time and the same space. And they lose connection with that imagination. And yes, it's that imagination that is responsible for the reality that you are experiencing. Each and every element that's in this reality is a result of not only belief systems, but imagination. An individual imagines that it's possible to have a certain experience, and as a result of utilizing that imagination, they create the belief systems and reinforce the belief systems and bring the reality into their conscious state so that they can experience it. You hold belief systems in certain elements that you cannot visually perceive. You believe that there are atoms, for example, yet it's impossible in your use of technology to actually visualize an atom. And yet through imagination, you can visualize what it may be comprised of. And as a result of that visualization, get an understanding of what it's possible to do through the utilization of the energy that's stored within that atom. It's all an imagination. You can see it. And because you believe it, you can validate it. Even though you can't see it, you can't touch it, but you know that it's there. It's an energy. It is a result of the imagination of what happens when you split that atom and release the energy. You have access to tremendous amounts of energy. You can't see it. You can't feel it until it actually occurs. But you can imagine it. And as a result of that imagination, and the result is real, of what it is that you desire, you can indeed create the reality. And you create the reality by the third element, which is the extractation. The individuals who use their imagination that there must be an element containing energy, and that element we will name an atom, and we will put certain elements within that atom, and we will surmise and imagine that it's all held together by a certain amount of energy, and if we could split that atom, then we could release that energy. And there's an expectation of what it was that they validated their imagination. Then they expected to experience that release of energy. And so expectation becomes very difficult. And yet it is indeed a prime element of this creation process. Desire, imagination, and then expectation. So many times there's no difficulty in the desire. I'd like to have to use our first analogy, a meaningful relationship. That's not difficult for you to desire. And it's not even difficult for you to lay it all out. And it's not even difficult for you to use your imagination of what it would be like to be involved in that type of relationship. To have those experiences, to experience the emotions and feelings, to experience the interaction of that particular type of relationship. But now, the expectation to bring that type of relationship into your reality, into your experience, can be quite difficult for you to achieve. Particularly if your old belief systems, it's not possible for you to be in control of your reality. If your old belief systems that you're not worthy. If your old belief systems that you are somehow less than other individuals. If your old belief systems that it's not possible to love yourself consciously. So one of the key elements of expectation is the ability for one to consciously like and love who you are. Because with that comes expectation. With that comes the expectation of deserving. With that comes gratitude. With that comes the feelings and emotions that this is possible, that I am an individual who has the capacity to create my reality, that I am an individual who is deserving of that type of reality, that I like who I am, and as a result of liking who I am, others like who I am, and that I love myself consciously. You see, you create this reality from a position of absolute unconditional love. You create this reality from a position of absolute and unconditional love. Not some other entity or other entities, not some other energy, but you as an entity, as an individual, create your reality from a position of absolute, unconditional love. If you wish to create it consciously, then if you can bring that unconditional love into the conscious state, it will greatly enhance your capacity and your success in consciously creating the reality. And so like who you are, love yourself consciously in order to facilitate the expectation of creating the desire and fulfilling the imagination. Love yourself consciously. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. You know how to love, absolutely. Many individuals feel that they don't have that capacity. You create the reality once again from a position of absolute unconditional love. It's who and what you truly are. To bring it consciously requires simple efforts. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. You do certain things to allow you to experience emotions and feelings that you would label as being very desirable. You do certain things to allow yourself to experience emotions and feelings that are indeed in many aspects vulnerable,
You give to yourself and you give to others to allow the others to have those experiences of trust, to allow someone to experience feeling of being worthy, to allow the other to experience feelings of security, to allow someone to experience feelings of joy and happiness. When you give to someone, to allow them to have those experiences that would involve the feeling of love, and when you give to yourself, to allow you to have those same feelings and emotions, you give that gift unconditionally. Unconditionally means that it has no conditions. Many involved in day-to-day activities or involved in interactions with others where you give to someone a certain element, a certain thing, and you put on that gift the condition. I will allow you to utilize this particular element of creation, providing that you follow certain rules and regulations. When you do that, you're creating a contract. Now, there can be contracts in relationships and contracts in love, and there are contracts in your society. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. But understand that when you give to yourself a gift, but then you put on the conditions, you're forming a contract with yourself. That's not a gift of unconditional love. It's a gift of a contract. Nothing wrong with it. It allows you to function. Many times it gives an individual that necessary push, if you mean, if you wish to get on with what it is that they're attempting to achieve. There's nothing wrong with that. It many times allows two individuals involved in an interaction to function. So you have your limitations. You know what to expect. If you do this, this is what you're going to be achieving. If you don't do that, then we're going to take it away. It allows there to be these limitations, these borders, these boundaries, if you wish, that allow you to function as a society. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you give it to yourself as a gift, or you give it to another as a gift of love, an unconditional gift to allow that other to feel that security, to feel that trust, to feel that joy, without feeling that they must accomplish something, they must live within the limitations, they must fulfill a contract. When you give that gift unconditionally, then you allow the other to experience love. When you give it to yourself unconditionally, you give yourself that expression of love, so that you can experience it. When you commit to another, you commit to allow them once again to experience those emotions and feelings that are involved in love. You commit so that they can allow them to experience that emotion of security, that emotion of trust. You commit so that they can feel secure in who they are. You commit so that they can be who they are without fear of condemnation. And when you commit to yourself, it's for the same reason, to allow you to experience who you are and to know who you are without fear of you going to condemn yourself. You get to know who you are. It's important that you know who you are. You don't necessarily have to lock any elements of who you are, but you have to accept them. You have to know who you are. You have to look at that and say, that's who I am. I accept that. And if you don't like it, change it. But accept it. You can't change it if you don't accept it. If you hide from it or put it away, or if you lie to yourself and say, that's not who I am, then it becomes difficult to change it. And if you can't change it, and if you hide it, but it continuously crops up in your day-to-day interactions, if it interferes with your applying your principles so you strengthen your character, then you begin to not like who you are, because you don't fess up to the fact that you have this particular element of your character that is who you are, and you don't accept it. And if you don't accept it, you can't change it. So accept who you are. Without judgment, without saying, well, I don't think that that's a good element. I'm going to hide from that aspect. I'm going to put it away. If you don't like it, change it. We've suggested many times that you begin to like who you are by putting in place a list of the principles that are principles that are important to you. And you put the important ones at the top after you've made your list. And you apply the principles. And it doesn't matter whether the principles that someone else looks at and says, well, you should have this principle at the top. No, no, no. You do these principles for yourself. You're liking who you are. You see, when you like who you are, others will like who you are as well. You may not be the individual that they think you should be, but that doesn't matter. You're who you wish to be. And if you're who you wish to be, you will like who you are. And other individuals will like who you are as well, even though, once again, you may not be the individual that they would choose you to be. That doesn't matter. You put in place the principles that you think are important, and you apply the principles when the opportunity presents itself. You create the realities that allow you to apply the principles and apply them so that you can consciously begin to like who you are. You're creating the reality, you're putting the opportunities in place, apply the principles, begin to like who you are consciously, and it becomes much easier to love who you are. It becomes much easier to know who you are and to begin to go through those portions that you may look at and say, well, I don't like that part of who I am, I'm going to change it. Don't hide it, don't put it away. Recognize it, accept it, and love it so that you can change it. Apply the principles. And as you apply the principles, you strengthen the character. And as you strengthen the character, you like yourself more. And as you like yourself more, you can do those things that allow you to love yourself. You can give to yourself. You can commit to yourself. You can allow yourself to know who you are. You can trust yourself. You can do all of those elements that one does when one is involved in a loving relationship. And you can do it for yourself. And then you begin to love yourself consciously. And when you begin to love yourself consciously, then the expectation is enhanced. And you begin to consciously, by understanding what it is that you desire, using your imagination, and as a result of liking who you are, bringing love into your conscious state, have the expectation. Through that expectation, through that loving yourself, you begin to influence as well your thoughts and feelings. You begin to influence the belief systems and consequently the attitudes. And you begin to make the choices and decisions that allow the reality that you're imagining to be achieved and to fulfill the expectation. It's really that simple. It's within your capacity to do it, absolutely. The irony of it is, you do it already. You just don't understand it consciously in many instances. You look at it and say, where did that come from? How did I become involved in that relationship? How am I involved in this interaction with another individual? Certainly, it couldn't have been my fault. You create your reality, absolutely. And it's within your capacity to do it consciously. You have but to believe. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Yeah, can I ask a question? You say that we come into this vibrational level so we can have the feelings and thoughts experience them. So, can you explain, in the world war, two world wars, another war, the second world war, the lives, the human lives that were lost, the atrocities that happened and the human lives that lost, with the Holocaust and the men that were killed, and can you explain
that? First of all, in your awakened consciousness state, you believe that to end that state is somehow a disaster. And as we've suggested, it's much more difficult to remain in this awakened consciousness state than it is to be in the other altered states of consciousness. and in those altered states of consciousness you make the choices and the decisions to be involved in the reality so that you can have the experiences. And dying is not that much of a negative experience. In fact, as difficult as it may be for one to grasp the concept, if you believe in this time and space concept, you have died many times. The length of existence within a particular incarnational period is irrelevant. Whether it's from your belief in time and space for a matter of days or a matter of years is irrelevant. It really doesn't matter. You can be born again, not only can, but are, many, many times. It's not a difficult process. Now, individuals involved in those conflicts that you determine as being disastrous, it's important to understand that the belief systems of individuals involved in those types of conflicts are quite similar. It's not my chance. Individuals on both sides hold similar belief systems. As difficult as that may be to grasp, the belief systems are very affected by the creation of the reality. When you believe that it's a disaster, it allows the individuals involved in that so-called disaster to experience the emotions and feelings of that particular interaction. The irony of it is that even in that disastrous situation, there will be interactions with the other individuals, with the people involved, the entities involved in that particular action, in particular experience, would term as being very positive interactions. That they experienced emotions and feelings that were quite positive, if you wish to use that terminology. It's not all negative. Absolutely not. You see interactions in what you refer to as war times, where individuals are in conflict with one another, and yet there are interactions going on within that experience that are, for lack of a better terminology, quite desirable. You see, right or wrong, once again, is only an awakened human consciousness concept. Dying is only an experience that you may look upon as being negative in your awakened consciousness state. In your altered state of consciousness, there's no such thing as dying. You simply alter the experience. And so these so-called wars that you refer to are interactions of individuals who choose to be involved at some level of their consciousness. As difficult as that may seem to be for one to grasp that concept, you are in control of your entire interaction and creation process. Absolutely. All of it. Even the parts that you look upon and say are very negative. Why would one choose to be involved in that type of interaction or that type of creation process? You choose to be involved because of the opportunity to experience the intense emotions and feelings that are only possible at this level of consciousness experience, at your vibrational level. In other vibrational levels, such an experience is not possible. Because individuals are aware of the creation process at their so-called conscious level from which they create the reality. Those entities that you look upon as being in strict contact in their awakened consciousness stack are entities that love each other. As difficult as that may seem to grasp, those entities agree to be involved so that each can facilitate and assist the other in creating their experience that allow them to experience the emotions and feelings. It's an agreement. There's not one instant in your creation process, in your conscious state, that's an action that the individuals involved in do not have complete control over. You may choose many times in your awakened consciousness state to be involved from what we refer to as a position of default. But nonetheless, at some level of your consciousness, you are creating that reality from a position of absolute and unconditional love. At some level of your consciousness, you lovingly interact with other entities to facilitate that creation. It becomes difficult to grasp that concept in your awakened consciousness state, where in your awakened consciousness state you have this concept of good and evil. You have this One is on the right side and the other is on the wrong side. Well, it depends upon which side you're on as to who's on the right and who's on the wrong. There are conflicts existing within your atmosphere, within your world system at this time that are based upon belief systems where each calls the other to be an extremist. Who's right and who's wrong? Depends on which side you're on. Neither is right or wrong. Each is creating a reality to validate their belief system. At some level of their consciousness, they are interacting through a loving relationship, as difficult as that may seem. The creation comes from a position of absolute and unconditional love. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. Now, many individuals in your so-called awakened consciousness state can look at a relationship, for example, between a mother and a child. And that child is first born, and there's that interaction. And you can look at that and say, that's a loving relationship. It's easy for you to accept that those two individuals have chosen to be together, that those two individuals have chosen to create that reality, so that they can both have that so-called positive and loving experience. The two individuals that are involved in a warring situation where they are inflicting injuries upon one another are creating that reality from the same position of unconditional love. Absolutely. You just choose to not believe it. It's a difficult concept to grasp in your awakened consciousness state that you are in control of the entire reality experience. It's an illusion. It's an illusionary reality that doesn't mean insignificant. It's the problem with the use of a vocabulary is that illusionary in your vocabulary many times is construed to mean that it doesn't have a significance. You have an illusionist that plays tricks upon a stage and you believe that it's all a fact, it's all a trick. When we're talking about an illusion that has significance, but nonetheless still an illusion. It's a validation of belief systems. And the right or wrong is only in your awakened consciousness state. And it doesn't matter what the experience is. It comes from a position of absolute unconditional love. And from that state, you will never judge whether it's right or wrong. That stock of consciousness that you are never says, well, I'm not going to create that reality because it's not going to be a very good one for that individual. If that individual desires that type of reality, then the stock of consciousness that you are creates it. And the difficulty comes when you're in your awakened consciousness state. You say, well, how could you say that we desire? How did you say desire that these individuals desire to be involved in that type of a conflict where they're inflicting all types of atrocities upon each other? They desire it because at some level of their consciousness they choose to have that experience so that they can experience the intense range of emotions and feelings. At some level they believe that they are not worthy to have a different type of experience. At some level they believe that they are not in control. If you believe you're not in control, and if you believe that you're going to be persecuted because of your belief systems, then you can have that. The stock of consciousness that you are will give it to you readily. And you can have the experience that goes with it. And you can walk around feeling persecuted and that your life's a terrible thing and all of these people are against you. And you are right. You see, I believe that there it is. It's validated. I'm not in control. There's these entities that are committing all these atrocities upon me. Because it's indeed in my religion that I will be persecuted. And there it is, I believe it, and there it's validated. Well, you can have whatever it is you desire. If you wish to believe that you're not in control, if you wish to believe that because of your belief systems you will be persecuted, you can have that. And there are other entities that are willing to assist them to, from a position of absolute unconditional love, agree with you. Ah, let's like this. Let's see what it's like. Let's have that experience. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief that you hold. There are but three truisms. You create your reality, you are the God that you search for, and you cannot fail. All the rest is illusionary, and it's a reflection and validation of the beliefs that you hold. And if you choose to believe that you're not in control, you will have that. If you choose to believe that there are entities that will persecute you, you can have that. It doesn't matter. And it's not right or wrong. It's only right or wrong in your awakened consciousness state. The fuck of consciousness that you are gives it to you joyously from a position of absolute unconditional love and without judgment. And it occurs continuously. These so-called atrocities. The irony of it is that even when you look at that, and you look at it as an individual, and you see all of these atrocities that were performed upon the masses, but actually, it's an individual that had the experience, not the masses. And the experience of that individual is no more difficult to grasp or understand than the atrocity that's committed upon an individual in a single instance that has nothing to do with war, where an instant is put in price, where a seemingly innocent individual is subjected to all types of atrocities. The experience, the emotions and feelings can be quite similar, whether it's one individual or thousands of individuals. It comes down to individuals deciding to be involved in a creation process to validate beliefs. The reality you experience, without exception, is a validation and a reflection of the beliefs you hold. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Anybody else?
Isaiah, in your reality creation process, you talk about finding a belief and then imagining it and putting forth the expectation. A lot of people who talk about reality creation talk about using that emotion that you want to get out of it in the end and making yourself feel that way to kind of push the process along. How does that fit in with yours, or what do you think about that?
We suggested many times that the technique is not nearly as important as the belief in the technique. If one's using one's imagination, and we give examples of imagination and desire and expectation simply as elements of the creation process, but what type of imagination you use is entirely up to the individual. Some will use a repetition of affirmation, whereas others, as you suggest, would use imagination of what it would feel like to actually have that experience. It doesn't matter. Once again, the method or technique is not nearly as important as one's belief in the method or the technique. At some level of your consciousness, and at the level of experience that we create our reality from, we understand that we are in control. And so it becomes very difficult to create a reality when you have the intense range of emotions and feelings other than the emotions and feelings that are involved with what you refer to as loving oneself. And that's not to say that we're any better or any different, but rather that we've made different choices in a creation process. It's like if we were to go into a theater, we've used this analogy before. When you enter into a theater and you look at the experience that's being projected upon the screen, a production, you can, within a short period of time, go through a very intense and very extensive range of emotions and feelings. And they can seem quite real while you're in there having that experience. But you know, somewhere in your conscious state, that it's an illusion. And so while you can experience the intense range of emotions and feelings, when you walk out of that theater, you know that it was someone else's projection, and it was simply an illusion with a trick of lights upon a screen. And it wasn't real. But you come back into your world, and here it's real. Because you choose to limit your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. in other vibrational levels, that limitation does not exist. And so it's like walking into the theater. You can create whatever we desire, but we understand that it's a creation, it's our illusion, and the intense range of emotions and feelings are only validated through that position of absolute and unconditional love. And so it's what you might refer to many times as positive emotions that we experience. But it's simply an emotion. Positive when negative is an awakened consciousness state. We simply, in our vibrational level, understand the creation process as you have that option to as well. It's not like you don't have that option, it's like you choose not to. It's important that you grasp that understanding as well. That you're here by choice. You don't have to exist within your vibrational level. You're here because you choose to have that experience. We, on the other hand, do not have that choice, nor rather have not made that choice. And as we've suggested in other times, in other interactions within your groups, that we have no desire to have that experience. We can't understand why you would, although with our interaction through life, we get glimpses of the intensity of that range of emotions and feelings. And for that we are grateful, and for that it's enough. We don't desire to go through the entire involvement. So, in your reality, in your creation process, whatever you desire to experience is once again brought into your reality. And if you use certain methods or techniques that you will believe will help you in correcting and accomplishing that which you desire, and you believe that it will work, that method or technique, whatever it is, then apply it, absolutely. Use the imagination. If the imagination is that you're going to have these experiences of feelings and emotions, then if you believe that that will assist in creating that reality, then by all means, employ it, use it, utilize. Once again, the method or the technique is not nearly as important as your belief in that method or technique. In our creation process, we understand that we create the reality to validate our belief systems. We also understand that it's illusionary, that we can alter the experience. And as a result, it's like entering into the theater once again. It's an entirely different experience when you know that you're creating from a position of absolute and unconditional love. When you alter your consciousness, when you enter into your meditative state, and it's possible for each of you to go within inside and to get glimpses of the understanding of who and what you truly are. It's possible for you to go within inside and to feel the connection to that unconditional love, to connect with that so-called higher self or spark of consciousness that you are. You can't be separated from it. You choose to hide from it. As we've said before, it's like taking your right hand and putting it behind your back and saying, I wonder where that went to. It's there. You choose to hide from it. You choose to hide from that spark of consciousness that you are. But it's possible for you to make the connection. It's possible for you to go with inside and get a glimpse of the understanding of that unconditional love that you create this reality from. And when you get that glimpse, then you will also begin to understand the difficulty in trying to give an explanation of what it's about. It just can't be done. It's an experience. It's not an explanation. Does that answer your question?
Yes, very much.
Well now, once again, it has indeed been a very enjoyable interaction, and we would like to thank each of you for offering us this opportunity to interact and to share with you. And we will remind you once again that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level, and should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And in the meantime, we would bid farewell to each of you with love and with